scale of things, Jesus considered paying tithes to be but a gnat against the weightier matters of the law. Now, the definition of a tithe is a tenth, usually 10% of your earnings. And Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And God says, "In tithes and offerings. Therefore, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house." I have a question. Should a born-again believer pay tithes? I am James Warden, and this is Have You Heard the Good News? Should a born-again believer pay tithes? Well, in the Old Testament, tithes were paid to support the Levite priesthood. The tithe was the Levite's God-appointed portion. And contrary to popular belief, paying tithes is not God's financial plan for His New Testament church. Yet many pastors will lay Malachi 3:8 on their congregations, just as if our Lord Jesus commanded the body of Christ to pay tithes, and He did no such thing. Concerning tithing, Jesus Christ gave no such commandment to His church. If ministers are preaching that you should pay tithes, then they are preaching it because they want to, because our Lord gave no such commandment to the church. God vividly outlined His financial plan for His New Testament church, and paying tithes was not included. The body of Christ's financial plan is found in 2 Corinthians 9:8, which states, "Let every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver." 2 Corinthians 9:8. You see, today it's according to what you purpose in your heart to give, and not a payment of tithes according to the law. God's plan says that we don't give of necessity, and paying tithes was indeed of necessity. You had no choice but to pay it, for the law commanded that you paid tithes. Not so for us who are under grace in His New Testament church. We don't pay anything. We give free will offerings as much as we purpose in our hearts to give, whether it's 10% or above or below 10%. We set the standard for giving under grace. Remember that non-Jewish people were not given the law. Only the Jews were given the law, and the law contained the ordinance of paying tithes. So only the Jews were required and commanded by the law to pay tithes. And the dispensation of the law lasted from the day it came by Moses till God crucified the law on the cross with Jesus Christ, as according to Colossians 2:14 and Ephesians 2:15 and 16. I repeat that the interim in which the law was in effect began the day it was given by Moses to the day it was crucified on the cross of Jesus Christ after He fulfilled it. Colossians 2:14 and Ephesians 2:15 and 16 verifies that fact. So, since the law was in effect until the crucifixion of Christ, then the ordinance of tithing was also in effect while Jesus was upon the earth. That's why Jesus in Matthew 23 rebuked the Jewish religious leaders for not keeping the most important parts of the law, when He said unto them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites! For you pay tithes, all right, but you omitted the weightier matters of the law, such as judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, ye strained out the gnat, but swallowed the camel." Jesus was saying, since the law contained the ordinance of tithing, then they did well to tithe. But they should not have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Jesus called this straining at a gnat and swallowing the camel. And today, many ministers are straining at that gnat, which wasn't even given to the church. Jesus never requested or commanded that the church pay tithes, because for the simple fact that it is impossible for us who are under grace to pay tithes. People pay because they owe, and Jesus made sure that His church was not in debt to the law. He paid our debts by fulfilling the law for us, so that we wouldn't be debtors to pay the law anything, including taxes. Just as it is impossible for us who are under grace to pay tithes, since we are not debtors to do the law, likewise, it is just as impossible for a Jew under the law to give a tithe. For no man under the law ever gave a tithe. just as no American on April 15th ever gave taxes. Men under Mosaic law pay tithes as men under governmental law pay taxes. Remember, you pay because you owe. You don't give taxes. You pay taxes. And likewise, if you are under the law, you don't give tithes. You pay tithes. I asked earlier, should a born-again believer pay tithes? The answer is no. A born-again believer should not and cannot pay tithes. People pay because they owe, and as believers, we are not debtors to the law to pay anything, for we are under grace. Now, many may argue that Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek some 400 years before the law was given. And I wholeheartedly agree. Abraham, our father in the faith, gave tithes to Melchizedek. He didn't pay tithes, for he didn't owe Melchizedek anything. And neither did Melchizedek ask Abraham for the tithes. Abraham, our father in faith, gave the New Testament way. He gave according as he purposed in his heart to give. And he purposed in his heart to give 10%. Jacob also pledged to give, not pay, but to give 10% of all that he had. Jacob gave according to the free will offering principle in 2 Corinthians 9:8. He gave as he purposed in his heart, not out of required necessity as in paying tithes. He purposed to give, not pay, but to give a tenth. And so can we. We can give from 1 to 100%. It is as we purpose in our heart. So, if you purpose in your heart to give a tenth, as the patriarchs did, then don't call it paying tithes according to the scriptures, because paying tithes was required by the law. And if you missed a payment, then you had to add a fifth or 20% more to it when you did pay it, according to Leviticus 27:31. And let's remember that if you're trying to fulfill the law in one point, then Galatians 5:3 says you are a debtor to do it all. So imagine, just imagine that you missed paying your tithe, and then when you could pay it, you had to add that fifth part or 20% more. That's 30% of your income right there. And you're still not through because the law required tithes and offerings. So right there, you're easily talking 35 to 40% of your income. So if you are paying tithes because the law said it, God says that you have made yourself a debtor to do it all. And in this case, it can really get expensive. That's why God gave us a more perfect way of giving, not paying, but giving as you purpose in your heart. So, if you purpose in your heart, like Abraham, to give a tenth, then don't tell other Christians that they must give a tenth, because they don't. Everyone, as he purposes in his own heart, so let him give. Also remember that under this better covenant, with better promises, you can no longer rob God. You can only rob yourself, because God doesn't need our money. He says that all the silver and gold is mine. He just gives us the privilege to honor him with the first fruits of our substance, as he has prospered us. Solomon realized this when he said, Lord, all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. God is not diminished when we withhold our offerings from him. In his financial plan, if you are stingy, then you only cheat yourself. As it is written, he that giveth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So, by the grace of God, your measure of receiving is proportionate to your measure of giving. So give, and it shall be given unto you. Many can tell you that they started off giving just 10% and increased up to 90%, and they lived off the 10%. Now that's really becoming wealthy, isn't it? Also, another element of giving is cheerfulness. Even in the Old Testament, the Lord told Moses to receive his offering only from those who gave it with a willing heart. If you give with a grieved heart, then God has no respect for your offering, and he prefers that you keep it. For it is more profitable for you to give $10 cheerfully than to give $100 grudgingly. for God loves a cheerful giver. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. If they would have cheerfully given what they purposed to give in their heart to give, then they would not have been smitten. But they kept back that which they would have given grudgingly, which was okay, but they lied about the part that they wanted to give willingly. If they would have just followed this New Testament principle and gave as they purposed in their heart, even if it were a penny, they would not have been smitten. Nevertheless, let's remember who the greatest giver is. Jesus, for he gave his life for us while we were yet sinners. And Jesus, the greatest giver, favored the sacrificial giving of the widow with two mites, because she gave her all. And no man will ever go to the poor farm because they gave too much to the Lord or distributed too much for the necessity of the saints. Those who minister unto us spiritually, we should give unto them materially, Paul said. But many believers are giving sparingly. And when pastors have to try to make up the difference for our lack of giving by resorting to chicken dinners and such, some members in the body will stand back and criticize. Now, I'm not here in defense of church chicken dinner sales, but I do feel like Jesus felt when the Jews came and told him that Moses allowed men to write a bill of divorcement to put away their wives. And Jesus responded to them saying, "For the hardness of your hearts, Moses wrote this precept. But from the beginning, it was not so." And so it is with the church chicken dinner sales. From the beginning, all this foolishness was not so. But because of the hardness of our hearts to give bountifully and sacrificially, ministers have had to resort to this to supply the lack. So may we leave these tactics and give liberally and cheerfully, as the Lord has prospered us. Let's remember Abraham, our father in the faith, who gave us a pattern of free will giving when he gave 10% as he purposed in his heart when there was no law. We could consider this, that since God required 10% of our earnings to be paid under the dispensation of the law, then how much more above a tithe should the New Testament believer give, since we are not under the law, but under a better covenant with better promises in this dispensation of grace? Nevertheless, let every man give as he purposes in his heart. I asked earlier, should a born-again believer pay tithes? The answer is no. A believer cannot pay tithes, nor should they think they are paying tithes, for people pay because they owe a debt. And we are not debtors to the law to pay anything. Jesus paid it all when he fulfilled the law for us. Therefore, we don't pay tithes, but we willingly give as we purpose in our hearts, whether it's from 1 to 100%. For God loves a cheerful giver, not payer. I'm James Wharton, and this is Have You Heard the Good News?